Yeah.
You laugh, but Kirsten might want to say
okay,
a few words.
Yeah, Kirsten, you definitely, yeah, yeah. So, hi everyone. We came out for Chris and Emily's wedding, as you know, Chris. By the way, I speak with a South African accent, even though I'm Polish, because I was raised in South Africa. But I was born in Poland, right in the middle, in a place called Łódź, which is kind of difficult for some people to pronounce. But then maybe I speak Polish and Kirsten can translate into English, just to give you a bit of a flair of what's going on. Bardzo się cieszymy, że jesteśmy tutaj w Liverpoolu.
We're very happy that we could be here in Liverpool.
I wczoraj dobrze byliśmy na weselu, na ślubie, też było wspaniałe.
And yesterday we really had a great time at Kirsten's
wedding. I macie piękne miasto.
You have a really beautiful city.
Ja wierzę, że naprawdę Bóg ma plany dla tego miasta.
I really believe that God has plans for the city.
Okay, so that's how it sometimes goes in a church. I sometimes preach in English, and it gets. We have an international church, and so I sometimes speak in English, and somebody translates it into Polish, and sometimes I speak in Polish, and somebody translates it in English, it's fun like that. It's it kind of slows things down, so we don't have to have so many items. You know, it's great. But we were part of the original planting team that came out from South Africa, from a church called Glenridge in Durban by the Indian Ocean, lovely and warm. And we went out and planted in London. And just in case you think, you know, my heroes and everybody, you know, we came in riding on a horse and it was all great and easy and everybody fell onto their knees and got saved. Well, it wasn't like that at all. We kind of sold everything we had in South Africa, and we were fairly poor. Kirsten was studying, had just begun to work, and we had a car in Durban that we had to climb in through the back door because the front doors were falling off if you touched them because they had rusted so much. And we sold everything, off we went, and we had about £1,000. And we found jobs, and then I found a job eventually after going to many, many different agencies. This particular agent, this is the way God works, this particular employment agent saying, I'm going to find a job for you. She was half Polish, so I'm going to find a job for you. You're fairly useless, but I'm going to find a job for you anyway. And she sent my CV out to about 300 different companies, and she was determined, this is it, you know. And eventually she found me a job, which was amazing. And God kind of used that, and it was in an international company, and eventually I was kind of promoted and et cetera. And it was a good job in the end. And Kirsten walked the streets of London with her portfolio. She's an architect. She walked the streets of London with her portfolio, determined to find a job, you know, and just went from company to company, from firm to firm. And she went home at night and she would just cry. It was cold. It was dark. We were poor. We didn't have a job. We happened to be living right on the other side of London to where the church was being planted. So we had to spend tons of money traveling there and back and forth. The people were grumpy and unfriendly. It's not like Liverpool, lovely, friendly. So it's church planting in its glory, you know. And then we were in London. I just want to encourage you because I think some people think, ah, this is so easy. You just go out there and people fall at your feet. It's like, man, it's not. Sorry. As you can see, it's not easy. Is it still working? Okay, I'm still on. Something fell off. I'll put it in my pocket. Okay, thank you. Put it in this pocket, conveniently. Okay. And then we were in London for a while, and then Nigel and Melita, to our great surprise, asked us to come on eldership with them. And that was really, really weird for us. We were the first eldership couple in London apart from Nigel and Melita. And it was like, why us, you know? And Nigel, in his wisdom, you know him really well, him and I are like as different as they get, you know, to be honest. I mean, I'm just like, I know nothing. He knows everything, you know? And but yet he was wise enough to be able to say, okay, well, I think we need you to kind of maybe, I don't know, just round it off, you know. And it was wonderful, you know. And then eventually the way we got to Poland is that the church grew, and eventually more elders came on, more leaders, etc. But the way we went into Poland is that was a guy from the apostolic team, Kia Taylor. I'm not sure if you guys know him. Wonderful guy. He used to be in the special forces, tough man, you know. And God just opened the door wonderfully for him to go into Poland, but he didn't have any translators. So he would go into a city or into a place, you know, and there'll be a group of people there, and some of them just could not speak English. And so he would be saying one thing, they'd be saying another thing, and, you know, they'd get two messages at the same time, but it wasn't really what he was kind of doing. So then I found out, and he actually asked me to go with him. So I started going with him, and I know it's my home country and everything, but back then, 11 years ago, Poland was, you know, Poland is the place you leave to come to the UK. You don't leave the UK to come to Poland. And so, but God began to do different things in my heart in order to actually really, you know, there was a real heart for my own people. You know, it's like I'm sure you guys have the same thing when you go to work, when you go to different places, like these sheep without shepherds, you know, it's like sheep without any direction. It's like these people are lost. These people are, they don't know what's right for, they don't know what's wrong, they don't know what's good for them, they don't know the Lord, you know, where are they going? And so God began to do that on my heart, and I started praying into that, and you know, I didn't want to. I thought maybe I can. I never saw myself as being a church leader, you know. Never saw myself as being the hero, you know. Especially being with Nigel, who has it all together, you know. You ask him a question, he's got an answer. You ask him where for the verse, he tells you exactly where it is. He's a walking encyclopedia about any and every topic, you know. And I'm just different, you know. And I thought, well, you know, it's guys like that who can do stuff, not me, you know. And anyway, but God started sort of working in my heart. And one of the ways that he did that is I got a scripture from Joshua 5:13. And it said, it's that scripture where Joshua goes to have a look at Jericho. The Lord tells him, you need to take the city. So he goes to have a look. And he has a look, and then he sees this guy. And this guy's standing there, must have been quite a big guy, with a sword, you know. He's standing there with a sword. And he says, and Joshua says to this guy, "Hey, buddy," not exactly my paraphrase, "are you for us or are you against us?" In other words, if you're for us, get behind me, you know, rank, you know, slot in. If you're against us, I'm about to kick your... And the guy says, "I am the commander of the Lord's army, and I have now come." And Joshua gets it. He gets it. He falls on his knees and he says, "Okay, it's not you following me. It's not me going somewhere and taking God with me. It's God taking me. Hello. I don't have to take God into Poland. He wants to take me into Poland." I mean, you know, it's a small difference. But I don't have to be the superhero. I just follow him. I see what he's doing. I follow his heart. But God has placed other people in that nation, in those cities. God has put people together that want to worship. And I was like, I don't have to be the superhero. I can just obey God and see what he's got for us. So we went. And there was an interesting thing with my wife, because she's half German, half English, born in Scunthorpe. Yes, Scunny, between Grimsby, Ghoul, and what's the other town? Whole Grimsby and Ghoul. It's a beautiful, romantic place. Yeah. And anyway, so it's half German, half English, and raised in South Africa. She was 6 months when she went to South Africa. And when I suggested to my wonderful, sophisticated architect wife, living in a very comfortable flat overlooking London, because at that stage we had already established ourselves rather comfortably, that maybe should we go to Eastern Europe to move there and plant a church. To say it mildly, I got my head bitten off. She doesn't really remember this at the time, which is good. Maybe the shock of it has kind of washed away her memory. But the reaction was strong. And so I asked Kia, because I went shortly after that, I asked Kia, I went to Poland with him again. I was like, "I actually feel called to this country. But you know what? I think I feel called to this marriage too. I mean, I'm quite convinced I do, because it's a covenant and we won and that's that, you know? And I don't think that she can live in Poland, in England, I can live in Poland. I don't think that's going to work so well." So God, what do I do? You know, Kia, what do I do? So he said, you know what? And this has kind of been the best advice anybody has given me about marriage, which I have not perhaps not followed as well as I could have. But he said to me, leave her. Just pray for her. Because if it's God who's calling her, then it's going to be, if you force her, then anything that goes wrong, any trouble, anything, it's going to be your fault. If God, she has to feel the sense of calling from God. And he has put you together, and he's giving you this calling. If this calling is from you, then she's going to feel it too. If this calling is from God, then she's going to feel it too. So I'm like, okay. So I started praying, you know, and I have to be honest, it wasn't like earnest prayer, fasting, you know, walking around hungry. It was kind of when I thought of it, I prayed, you know, but in earnestly, because I mean, I was feeding it, you know. And then I did one or two trips into Poland subsequently. And after 7 months, Kirsten comes to me and says, there is a real sense of urgency. We need to go to Poland. We need to plant a church. I'm like, you seriously, come on. She's having me on, you know. But she'd heard from God, and stuff was happening inside that I didn't know about, you know, that God had been doing, and it just came out, you know. So for all you husbands out there, this is the way to lead your wife. I have to learn this myself as well. I have to keep relearning it. But that's how we landed up there. And so maybe you want to share something about. Over to Kirsten. I'll translate into Polish for all those who.
Is this on? Okay. So we've been in Poland for 11 years now. And we went there just the two of us and our daughter, who was 2.5 at the time. And the first 5 years were pretty tough. It was very, very slow going. And the people that joined us were few and far in number. And by the end of 5 years, we had 17 people, 16 people, somewhere around there. And then because it's quite a transient nation or city, sorry, there are a lot of international students who come and international couples that come, and five of them left. And so we went down from 17 to 12, and there's a big difference between 17 and 12 when you've spent years building up. And so it was a bit of a crisis point for us, and we really had to seek God and kind of really reconfirm that he'd sent us there. And so we asked him two questions, and the one is, God, is Krakow the place for us? Is Krakow the place that you want us? And he said yes. And then the second question is, and is the church it? Do we continue with this? Is this what you're wanting us to do, to continue with this church? And he said yes. So we continued. And we've seen some really wonderful breakthroughs in the last 5 years, and some wonderful areas and opportunities for God to really minister into that place. Poland is, just a very quick background about Poland, it is very, very Catholic. So most people are Catholic. It's a country of about 40 million people, 38 million, of which 35,000 are born again, spirit-filled Christians. So that's 1 in 1,000, and the churches are generally very small, and obviously there's just a lot of religion in that place. And if people do get saved, almost as difficult for them to get saved as to kind of get saved out of the Catholic Church and the religion and everything that comes with it, because it's so linked up with the culture and the family and the tradition and everything in that. So it's a little bit of background. But we've had wonderful opportunities in terms of, we've done some ministry into ex-drug users who, there's a hostel that we were ministering into, and the other couple that are on eldership with us, Martin and Eva, they were very diligently going in there and spending time with the people, and we saw many people getting saved, and so that's really wonderful, and their lives changed, and you could just see their faces changing and hope coming back, and physically they would change, and you could just see life coming back into their eyes. A lot of them unfortunately died just because they were ex-drug users, so a lot of them AIDS, and also their bodies were just physically gone. But as with everything else we've learned when we've gone there, you have to seek your heart, why am I doing this? Am I doing this to build something for myself? Am I doing this to add numbers to something, or am I doing it because it's for God's kingdom? And so it was just wonderful that these people could come to know the Lord. And then we've had people coming. We had a guy across the road who just, God met him by himself, really. He was also a young guy who was 20 or 21 at the time. And yeah. He was a drug user. And just one day God said, pick up your Bible and read it. And he kind of had a personal conversion experience and then thought he was the only person in the world who this had happened to, because he didn't even know that sort of Protestant church existed. And so he started looking on the internet and discovered that we existed, and we actually lived across the road from him. We were number 5 and he was number
4.
And so he was kind of watching us through the window for a few days, thinking, this is very, very strange. This doesn't look like any church that I've seen before. And then he came one night and knocked on the door and said, are you a pastor? And he had his hair in front of his eyes, and Wojtek thought, oh, suicide bomber, what do I do? And it was... and anyway, he had an opportunity to minister to him and get saved, and now he's very involved. And we even had a few months ago a lady coming over from, was it Ireland or Scotland or?
Who's that?
The lady who got saved. She came to church.
Oh yeah, from Scotland. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have quite a lot of we have a lot of international tourists actually visiting us every week, because we've got an English website, and because the church is international. And a lady came with her friend or sister. I don't know the exact
details. It was a niece, yeah. I think that the aunt is in, I think, Jeff Findlay's church in Dundee. And she, for some reason, they were visiting Krakow, and she took her to our church, and the niece got saved in our church. Took her out of Scotland, got her saved, and took her back. It's like, oh, thanks. Yeah. But anyway, it's amazing that this happened, you know, because I think that during the meeting, you know, sometimes the meetings go whichever way, and at that time there was this real altar call, you know, that somebody came in, and somebody really felt, I can't even remember who it was, to be honest, somebody felt to really share the gospel and to throw out the net, to say, if the, you know, somebody here. And she gave her life to the Lord in the meeting. It was amazing. Yeah, yeah. And then she left. Yeah,
So our church is also quite a young church. Most of the people are in their 20s, students and kind of young professionals. And it's wonderful. And so because we have that, we also have opportunity. Some of the guys who go and work into the student community and have meetings. And we're about to start some youth meetings as well. We're kind of stepping out of the boat and see what God does with that. We also, you know, it's wonderful to come to this environment where the music is so great here with you guys. We have a small worship band, and it's been on our heart really also just to write songs, because you come from an English-speaking world where there are millions and millions and millions of Christians who write songs all over the world, and so you have a large resource of songs to draw from. And in Poland, most of the songs are translated from English, and it's just not the same. And so we've started writing songs, and we write them in Polish and English. But it's wonderful to have songs that are written in Polish for the Poles, and we're about to start trying to. We're not professional by any stretch of the imagination, but we do what we can with what God has given us, and we want to start a worship blog and start kind of doing some home recordings and just putting it there. And there's a church about an hour's drive from us that have that recently planted, and they've asked us to kind of oversee them, because from a
legal.
A legal point of view, they have to have a mother church that oversees them, and so Wojtek's known them for a long time because of his travels with Kier, and they said, please could you do that for us, could you look over us from the legal point of view, but also just the spiritual point of view, could you assist us and guide us and come and preach? And so that's a wonderful opportunity for us. They also, we're helping them with the songs, and so that's, I think, just God's sense of humor, because we, these English people writing Polish songs, giving them to the Polish people, and that's so cool, God. So that's wonderful. I think if I just could leave a thought with you about kind of what I've learned from my journey, you know, we go with a particular set of expectations because God calls us, and And we think that in that calling, the result looks like that. And that the what our expectations are from the result are just from our own expectations, what we would like for ourselves, or from the teaching that we've come, or the background that we've come from. And God's ways are just different from our ways. And he does things in a different way to what we expect very, very often. And we can have faith in circumstances and say, okay, God, I believe that there's a church plant and it's going to look like this. Or God, I know you want to work like this. And so I have faith for that. And I've just had to change my way of thinking about things and say, okay, God, my faith is in you, and my faith is in your goodness and in your faithfulness, and that your purposes will be accomplished. Mm. And you can use me, and I don't know how that's going to look, and I don't know what the results are going to look like. Mm. And we have to die to ourselves and say, okay, it's not about me, and it's not about what I'm going to achieve, but it's about you, God, accomplishing your purposes that you have planned to do, and you will do that. And my response is just to say, God, what is it that you've given me? What are the small things you've given me in my hand? And I will do the best that I can with that. But you, God, the results are up to you. And what you want to accomplish is up to you, because you are faithful and you will do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we've seen in Poland. And I'm sure we will see more, because God is good.
So maybe just one or two little prayer points as I kind of finish. I think also one of the things that we've learned is that even though we're small, even though we're not really kind of big, you know, church that has got lots of resources, etc., I get paid some of my salary from the church, but I also teach, and God's blessed us with property. So from £1,000 back then, we're now renting out flats to others, and actually that's just serving the ministry. We kind of really saw that even as a small church, we need to have a vision which is outside of ourselves. And so what we started doing is we've got this church plant that's going on in Tavnov, 90 kilometers away from us, so about 60 miles down the road. And we're very involved in that. We've been involved with some church planters in Romania, and kind of just really helping them out. And they've been asking us questions, and surprisingly, we've been able to answer, because we've been walked down that road before. And we've been involved in going to Hungary and a few other churches in Poland and stuff. You know, just God really changed their mind. It's like, you actually just give anyway. Even though you don't really think you have, just give anyway. And see that you can be a blessing to others. Rather than, I just had this picture in my mind, if I'm this and this and this, then I can maybe, you know. It's like, no. Actually, however small, I can begin to give as I have received from God, because God has given me certain things for certain people, you know. And so, yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks.
That's great. Thank you.